Ajahn, I'm assuming that the Upatak goes to his own kuti at night and sleeps at his cabin.
Yes.
What if the senior monk needs something during the middle of the night, or if he gets sick or something?
Then he's on his own.
Really?
Well, the thing is, but then that's also where...
Quite happily. it's also... where, say, like looking after, if he is sick or is ill, then you start looking after him in a different way. But say, like at the, say for myself, then there's say like Samanera Gunawiro looks after my dwelling place and keeps it neat and tidy, and keeps it clean, and keeps the bedding clean and towels clean, and looks after things. So everything's sort of set up so that it's all sort of comfortable. But if there were some need, or if I were ill, that's also one of the reasons why we've got a sick room at the Bhikkhu Commons. So that if myself or anybody else is sick or injured or something, they're at a place where they could be easily accessible, and then there's a toilet and showers easily accessible. So it's sort of set up in that way. But in general. We're living out in the forest like this, and then we're quite separate, and that's how we like it. Ajahn Chah. There is actually, yeah, there is.
Like if they have a stroke or.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there is. Every kuti has a horn, and we use them during the fire. And we found out how they worked, because we just thought, okay, if there's a fire, then just blast it really long, and then everybody will know it's a fire. But if there's a health emergency or something, then to do short sort of blasts. But the horns don't actually work like that. What happens is that when you blast it out long like that, after I don't know how long, it heats up and then it stops. It stops blasting out. So I don't think we ever figured out. Do we ever decide on a way to make a different signal?
I think you just nailed it. I mean, we can only do the one. There's something happening. If you hear the horn, you have to figure out what it is.
Yeah, so those are our way a bit, especially in our situation with the terrain we've got and the distances, and there are ways that we've figured out for alerting each other. And so far we haven't had any real injuries or somebody keeling over with a stroke or a heart attack. Just had the fire. Yeah. But those are also, in times when, say, like with Ajahn Chah or many other monks, as they got older and their health was not that good, then there was a much closer attention to looking after their needs and say like Ajahn Chah, who in the last few years before he was unable to, before his operation, then his balance was not good. So the upataks would make sure that they would be norm, before you would wait down below for Lumpa to come down. And then it shifted where the upataks would go up and then help him down this, because there's an upper level and a lower level to his kuti. It's sort of, the lower level is just a big open space that that people would gather and pay respects and meet him, and whether it's monks or lay people. And the upstairs is where he lived, but people go up and assist him to come down, just because he was starting to get a bit shaky, or not sure of his footing, but those and then when he was really ill, then and he was unable to communicate, unable to motor function wasn't there. Then they set up a whole system for one, built an actual special kuti. It was on one level, special kuti to look after him, with a room outside for receiving guests if people came, little kitchenette kind of thing off to the side, a room to look after him, and then a couple small rooms for the attendant monks to be able to sit or lie down and rest, and then also for storing medicines and whatnot. So it was set up quite well, like nicely thought through. And then there were four monks in the daytime and one novice, and four monks in the nighttime and a novice looking after him. And they do 2-week stretches, so from like full moon to new moon to full moon. And they change shifts around the Patimokkha. And they needed to have one very experienced monk as the kind of leader, and then another monk who was had solid experience, but maybe not quite as much as the others. And then you could have two kind of fresh monks who have it, and that way there was, because he was looked after like that for almost 10 years, and so many people would start showing up days before the Patimokkha to get in line to be able to upatak Lumpa Cha, and then some would just come in and help for a little bit and go back. Some would try to stay around so they gain more experience and stay closer. So, but all through that time, there was all these monks coming from all the branch monasteries who wanted to and generally did an exceptional job of helping to look after him. So he was bedridden for almost 10 years, and he never got a bed sore, which, that's a big deal. And, you know, so that kind of attention and care and trying to figure out, especially the early years, trying to figure out how to do it, and how do you deal with a bedridden one, just eating, urinating, defecating, how do you do all that with looking after somebody who is really bedridden? And so for some of the senior monks, the junior monks tended to adapt a lot better than the senior monks. I mean, many of the senior monks were fine, but some of the senior monks found it very difficult to relate to Lompa as a patient as opposed to the revered teacher. So it was hard for them to make that shift. And that's understandable. He needed looking after. So looking after somebody who is quite capable and tend to be independent is one thing, and then looking at, so there's a whole spectrum of how you look after the senior monks. Just while I'm thinking of it, one of the things that one of the huge benefits that I found in learning how to upatak and feeling comfortable upataking, because there's a hurdle to jump over with that sense of dis-ease and kind of self-consciousness and a certain worry of doing it right, why do we do this anyway? But then getting comfortable with that, and then that laid a really solid foundation for being able to draw close to other senior monks who weren't my teachers, and feel very comfortable around them, and then be able to look after them, and then oftentimes they'll ask questions or share a dhamma, or feeling very comfortable to draw close and then ask a question, so getting advice. And so it was, that was a huge benefit that I have found in my monastic life. I've drawn close to so many not just exceptional meditation teachers, but just really good administrative monks who were really learned. And it was the Ajahn Krunadamo everybody, Kasapo, Kachana, Debbie. We went to pay respects to the Sangharaja, the Supreme Patriarch. And years ago, to be three Supreme Patriarchs ago, he was at that same monastery. I was probably in about my middle years of being abbot at Wat Nanachat, and I was able to go there and pay respects and draw close to him, and he really enjoyed meeting and talking dhamma, because so often people go and it's like either administrative details or it's some kind of social obligation. I found the same thing with the abbot of Wat Saket, who was a very senior administrative monk. And he just loved sitting and talking dhamma. So then just feeling comfortable to sit and do this, do that. It didn't take much. But just feeling comfortable. And then ending up in very rich dhamma conversations, because it's you're not weirded out by the situation.